You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, a show which features conversations with Christians in leadership about the topics that really matter. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing Christian leaders on over 1,000 shows, and so I hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and will join us again next week.
If leadership is influence, this includes potentially whoever and wherever we are. This week I'm joined by the Reverend Jo Trickey. Her title tells you that her leadership includes leading the local church, but she's also been involved in leading as an advocate with LICC and now as learning and partnership development lead for the Gregory Centre for Church Multiplication. But away from church and charity, she also leads in the home as a mum of three young children. Now, plenty of leaders on this show are also parents, but we've never looked in any detail on being a mum and also being a leader. So I'm looking forward to chatting with Jo about this and touching the fascinating aspects of her leadership journey. So welcome, Jo. Good to have you along.
Wonderful to be here. It's always lovely to join you. And to be honest, it's an amazing topic to talk about. So I'm really excited about what we're talking about today.
Well, thank you, Jo. Your journey into leadership, first of all.
Great question. My journey into leadership did not start as something that I would have called leadership. I'd grown up in a theological tradition where women weren't particularly leaders. And when I look back, I can see that I led almost everything I did. I led my CU, I led things at school, I was a prefect and I liked to make sure the culture was good. I was involved in kids ministry, and as a young person I was involved in all sorts of different things that I ended up leading. Now I don't know if that's just my culture, so I grew up in New Zealand where everyone had a bit of a can-do attitude, and when we came to England I found lots of people who were just a little bit more passive, so I'd often end up being the one who kind of took control. And when I was about 18, I went on a gap year at a church and worked for them as part of their youth and children's team. And the vicar was very insistent with me that I was a leader. And I kept saying, I can't be a leader, I'm a woman. And eventually the penny dropped that actually God had made me a leader, that it was in my character. I then had to wrestle through all my theological ideas and concerns, and as you can tell from my title, my theological position shifted on that. But actually, then I began to look back and re-describe my story as a story in which I'd been leading in all sorts of places and spaces. And I always find that interesting when you meet people who don't yet know that they are a leader. They don't yet know that that is what God's called them to do. And there's that kind of daunting and liberating moment of owning that word. And not everybody loves the word leader, not everybody feels comfortable with it, particularly in the church. There's all kinds of ideas around it. But my journey was one, I think, of discovering who I really am, of learning that actually God has made me someone who can make the hard calls and who can bear the brunt of some of that, of becoming someone who feels the privilege of getting to shape the culture that I'm in, whether that's the school the kids are at, the culture of our home, or the culture of a charity or a church. I count that as a real privilege and a real delight, but also a real, it's a massive responsibility. You carry the weight of your decisions, both when they go well and when they go badly. I came to be a leader not because I wanted to be, but because I discovered I was.
Well, I think sometimes that's the best way. Those aspiring to be leaders are not always the right people. So it's great to hear that answer. And so we're going to talk a little bit about your family, and obviously as little or as much as you want to share. But tell me about your family and how that's interacted with leading in the different spheres that you've led thus far.
Yeah, so I'm a mum of three kids. The oldest is 8 and the youngest is 2, and there's a 6-year-old in the middle. So family life is quite busy. And I think that has hugely shaped my leadership in different moments. So trying to work out how do you love and serve your family, as well as love and serve the people that you're called to in a kind of work or a vocational space. And that's definitely shaped some of the decisions that we've made about where we go or what jobs both of us take. I'd say probably for the last 8-ish years, I've been the one who's held more of what's at home and now my husband holds more of that, so he has more flexibility in his work. And we've always felt that it was important for one of us to be able to be the flexible and the available one. So that's been a big thing, and sometimes it's more one of us than the other. We loved being in local church leadership with just one and then two small children. And then as they got a bit bigger and hit school age, it felt really important to be available in the evenings and the weekends a bit more. So that's part of the reason that I stepped out of parish ministry and into kind of charity spaces, but still very much involved in the local church, and I still do stuff in evenings and weekends, but it's not as demanding. So I'm around a bit more for them than I would be if I was a parish priest at the moment. So that shapes leadership, doesn't it? That shapes the decisions that you make, the things you say yes to and no to. And I think it's also teaching me masses about being a leader. I think I've learned a lot about negotiation by being a mum. I've learned a lot about listening to what's really going on for people and trying to understand the motivation behind something. I've learned a lot about love and about commitment and about digging in. Not that any of those were things I'd never thought about before, but they're things that I've learned a lot about in a new way. Learning a lot about the responsibility of being a leader or being a mum, the consequences of the decisions that you make now, further down the line as the culture of a family or a charity is shaped by those. So all sorts of different things that I've learned from being a mum. And I count it a real privilege actually to have these little people who give me such instant and honest feedback on the decisions that I'm making. So I think sometimes when you're in leadership, the decisions that you make, the response you get is slow or is subtle. And you don't necessarily know if you've made a mistake. But with kids, you get very honest, often very highly emotional feedback quite quickly.
Not every parent, of course, sees what they do as leading, and that partly because maybe they drift and are not taking proactive decisions in leading a culture. They're just enabling things to happen. So it's lovely to hear you talk about your decisions to create a culture in the home, to the way you seek to equip and serve your family. So lovely to hear all that. You obviously ordained. Have your sense of calling changed during your leadership career, looking back?
I spent quite a lot of time pondering this question, Andy, because you sent it to me in advance. And I think both yes and no. I think I've always felt called to serve the church, and that has a kind of local and rooted aspect. But my longing has always been that we would shift the bigger picture of where the church is at and of what the church is doing. And I've always had the privilege actually of being involved in things that are bigger than the local context. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I think I'd recommend that to everybody, to have something that connects you to the bigger picture of what's happening in the world of the church and in the world around us. I think my sense of calling has got clearer, but I don't think it's particularly changed. I think when I went to theological college at first, I thought, oh, I don't quite know how to serve Jesus, but being a vicar sort of looks like it ticks most of the boxes. And then as I've stepped into ministry, I think I'm finding what I maybe suspected of myself early on, that actually I'm better when I have a bigger sphere to think about than just being solely focused on a local church. And I recognise in that both my limitations and what God has called me to do. And I think also now as I'm coming into middle age, which is a lovely place to hit as a mum, beginning to work out what does it look like to really properly raise up good leaders. How do I not just think about my leadership career, but think about leaving a legacy of leadership and discipleship and passion for Jesus for those around me? So it moves slightly from being about me and where do I want to go into what even now is my legacy? What am I building as I go through my career?
Well, that's a good question to ask at this stage, rather than say in 20, 30 years' time. As you imagine your children growing up, they're going to grow up, hopefully, God willing, into whatever kind of church we have. What would be your ideals in terms of the church in the future for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when you look back. So I moved a lot as I was younger. In my kind of pre-20 years, we moved around a lot as a family, so I experienced lots of different kinds of church, and many of the churches that I experienced and loved were quite kind of defended. So don't let the culture around you shape who you are too much. Try and stay pure and safe. And some of that was just the era, and some of that was the churches that I was in. But I think I long for my children to be in a church that equips them for the world around them, and that prepares them and inspires them for the world God has called them into. I long for a church where we can be just a bit more humble about some of our mistakes, where there isn't pressure on leaders to be perfect all the time, and so the moments when something comes out aren't so dramatic because there's less hidden. I would love it to be a more open church in that sense. And yeah, I'd love it to be a more holy church, a church of people that are completely sold out for Jesus, where we are inspiring each other, where we are prepared to make the hard decisions in order to put Jesus first, where we're really loving each other. And by holy, I don't mean like sanctimonious. I mean people who look like Jesus, people who get what it is to give up everything to serve and love those around them, who truly love their neighbours, who take time to serve other people around them. I'm not particularly bothered about the worship style, or what does it look like on a Sunday, or how many activities are they running. I'm really more interested in the kind of the value and the character and that desire to seek after Jesus. And that's what I would love to see in the church. And I have the privilege of seeing many, many churches and many church leaders who are really going after that. And so I'm really hopeful about where the church might go, even in this season where we have these, difficult stories about church leaders who've not lived the way that it looks like they've been living. I'm seeing lots and lots of people who are doing incredible jobs, who love Jesus and who are serving local communities. And I think it's one of the privileges of my role that I get to meet those people and hear their stories, and encourage them in the work God's called them to.
Yeah, the solid and consistent faithful disciples don't always hit the headlines, do they? But they're the people that are providing the ballast within all our communities. So you're now learning into partnership development lead for the Gregory Centre for Church Multiplication. A lot of words there. So to take us through them and what that looks like from you as a in terms of your work.
Yeah, so I'm leading on learning, so that means looking after the courses that we run, thinking about how do we equip and train leaders in the space that we're in really well, so that when they're sent out into the world, either to grow churches that they're maybe already in, or to plant new worshipping communities, new churches, that they are ready. That they've thought about the challenges that are coming, that they've thought about their limitations and weaknesses as well as their strengths, and that they're set up well to thrive. Because I think thriving church leaders is essential for our church. So I do that as part of my learning element. And then partnership development is about how do we then take that learning and that training and take it out into the world. So we partner with dioceses and networks, both in the UK and abroad, to roll out some of the training that we've worked really hard on, so that we can raise up these leaders. So I get the privilege of meeting with leaders of networks and bishops and ministry development people in dioceses, so that I can help them to think about what does it look like to grow in their space in this season. So that's what I do. And I do a bit of research oversight as well, and all sorts of other things as part of that. It's a fun role. I think it's great. It's perfect for me. I love it.
That's great. And if people are ignorant of Gregory Center, where's it come from?
So the Gregory Centre has it's grown out of the Diocese of London, but we're not part of the Diocese of London in that way anymore. And we're not solely for the Anglican Church. So we're very interested in asking this question about what does it look like to grow new and renewed communities of faith? What does it look like to help them to grow really well and to flourish? And so we now work cross-denominationally, and as I said, both in the UK and internationally, trying to help churches do that. And we love and have great relationship with London Diocese, but we've kind of made a little bit of a break from them in order to be able to serve the wider church better.
Clearly, those who know anything about the growth of the church in the last couple of decades have seen the remarkable way in which churches have been revived in London and other places. So it's certainly a success story to build on, I'm guessing.
And lots of learning about what's gone brilliantly, and where have the limitations been. And I think that's part of what we're trying to offer people, is to say we've seen this, we've seen when it goes well, we've seen the challenges, we've seen the churches that start brilliantly and then are struggling in 5 years' time, we've seen the churches that start brilliantly and are going really well in 10 years' time. What can we learn from that, and how can we help? And at the moment, particularly doing some work in how does that look on in an estate context. So we've got some research coming out in the next couple of weeks about how do we plant churches into estate context? What does it look like for those churches to thrive? What do they need? What can we put in place to make sure that those are good places, but also they have realistic goals. They're not a kind of big mega city centre plant. They're small, slow growing, but incredibly rich. And we're just in the middle of a piece of research into how do we do that in a rural context as well. Recognising that the church has often been a bit underpresent in those places in the last few years, and that often, certainly in the Anglican church, we're pulling out of those places. So how do we lean into those and really bless and support the churches in those spaces?
Well, that's great to hear. Statistically, as you've said, the rural areas and the estates are, there's a dearth of churches in those places, and realistically, people are not going to hear the gospel, but for an indigenous community of people. So fantastic to hear. You're keen on theology and indeed our head of theology at Stream Studio. It's a big topic. Are there particular areas that you love? It's clear from our conversation that theology frames the way in which you approach your work.
So I've had the real privilege of being part of Stream Studio. If you haven't yet encountered them, they're worth having a look at. And Streams really exist to try and help people who might wander out of the back door of the church, people who've loved Jesus but their faith has taken a real bash. And so we try and have honest conversations and create stories that speak into the places that people might be struggling. And it's my job to kind of keep us theologically on track, to listen to all the stories and to give a bit of very occasional direction. And that's a real privilege. So I get to hear all these stories of hope, of where God has been working in people's lives. And if you're having a bad day, I would encourage you go and sit down and watch some of the Streams videos. They're on all the social media channels, and they are just delightful because you hear about how God has been working in places that you might never see, and you hear how he's turned people's lives around in the most extraordinary way. So I think I kind of got into theology because I love testimony. I remember reading like John Newton and The Cross and the Switchblade and Jackie Pullinger. So I sort of got into theology partly from reading these stories and being inspired by these men and women of faith. And Streams is like almost like a modern anthology of stories of faith. So that's been really fun to be part of and to try and give just a little bit of extra support into that space.
Well, that's fascinating to hear that you've in reading those stories, you've ended up wanting to think more deeply. So that's fantastic. And typically, those who are drifting away from faith end up deconstructing and sometimes abandoning their faith. Obviously, Streams is designed to put people back together to help them face up to the reality of their challenges. That one of our sister shows on Premier is Premier Unbelievable, and sometimes I listen to the ex-Christian on the show, and all they're doing is articulating a more mature set of questions that they're now asking, and that's led them sadly to leave the faith. But in reality, of course, they're just moving away from what they'd learned and realizing there's more to it. And probably could have stayed within the environment of the church if they'd had places to articulate and talk about.
Yeah, and I think what's really interesting for me is with the Gregory Centre, with CCX, I'm thinking about people who are new to faith for the first time, but also people who are de-churched. How do we create environments, both renewed churches and new churches where they might flourish? And then with streams, I'm having some of the same conversations. So thinking actually, what do people who are finding faith really hard need to hear? But also, what might people who've never encountered faith bump into as they scroll through Instagram in the evening and be inspired to check out Jesus for the first time? So there's kind of, for me, a lot of it is about the centre of the church, but also these lovely bits where I get to think about what does it look like to be on the edge of church community, either wondering if you're coming in or wondering if you're going out, and to try and point those people back to Jesus. That's helpful.
Strikes me, Joe, that Gregory Center also connects somewhat with the being an advocate for LICC. LICC, I didn't define it, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, which is all about helping Christians on the front line to realize that the way they walk with Christ in their daily life, often in a business environment or a working environment, is important for the church if we're to reach the many who do not connect. So perhaps you could say a little bit about how the two have allied for you and led us into the discipleship.
I think discipleship is key. Key is key to leadership. It's key to the church growing. And actually, it's so important for us. And I just say what I mean by discipleship. I don't just mean those spiritual practices that we do. So reading our Bible, praying, worshipping in a church building with others, listening to worship music. I mean, what does it look like to take all of that that we've learned and that we've grown in as we've been focused on Jesus and take it out and put it into practice in the world. So, what does it look like to be someone who prays in the morning and then who gets up and goes to work and recognizes that God is still in that space and he's still moving? What does it look like to work out our faith in the places and spaces where we find ourselves so that it's not just an academic thing we kind of come to in moments of quiet, but it informs all that we do? And I think that's obviously what LICC is hugely about, but that's also really important as I move into the Gregory Centre, because that ability to inhabit your faith completely is really important as we grow healthy disciples who then grow other new disciples. But those disciples that we're growing also step into positions of leadership. So if they're the kind of disciples who park their faith just for a prayer meeting in the morning at the start of their church work day and then come back to it at the end of the day, they're much more susceptible and they're much more vulnerable to stumbling. But if they're disciples who understand that absolutely everything that they do is for Jesus, then as they grow into leadership, as we grow into leadership, Jesus just shapes and informs all of our decisions, and we stick with him more closely. And that forms really healthy church communities. That helps us to lead when things are tough. That helps us to lead when we suddenly find we have more resource or more opportunity or more power than we thought we would get. And that helps us to stay humble and holy and Christ-focused. So I think discipleship is absolutely critical. Both, like, I love the work of LICC, but it's also really critical as I move into the Gregory Centre that we go actually healthy discipleship informs healthy leadership, which informs healthy church communities, and that would allow us to plant more communities and also to renew the amazing churches that we already belong to.
Well, thanks, Joe. I mean, LICC have been pounding this message for many decades, certainly in my journalistic career. Do you think that the dial is switching, or do you think there's still a lot of sacred secular divide around?
I mean, it's pockets of both. I would say that there are times I go to places and I think these people absolutely get it. They completely get that Jesus impacts absolutely everything that they do. And there are moments I go and have conversations with people, and at the end of them, they go, "Oh, I've just realized God cares about my work or being an architect, or he cares about how I am at home when nobody sees me. He's interested in and delighted in my parenting or what it is to be a friend." And so I would say both are true. I think probably it's getting better than it was when I was younger, but I think there are still lots of people who don't realize that God cares about every detail of their life. And I think I'd love them to, because he does, and he loves and delights in them in all that they do, and that's really special.
Oh, Joe, thank you. It's a wonderful place to finish. Thank you so much for all you've shared about your family and about your ministry. And so my God continue to use you in the Gregory Centre as he equips you for the next stage.
Thank you so much, Andy.
That was my conversation with the Reverend Joe Trickey, 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 Learning and Partnership Development Lead for the Gregory Centre for Church Multiplication, but also mum of three young children. Isolated the importance of thinking about our leadership in terms of the culture we're creating within our home. Too often people lead in a charity, a church, a business maybe, but don't think actually leading the young ones in my home is equally as important, needs to be thought about and prayed about and discussed. So I trust that's been an inspiration for you, and particularly if you're a Christian in the quotes the workplace, and maybe it's not as valued as you'd like within your sphere of influence, maybe within your church. Well, do know that God is as much with you as he is with the vicar or minister who's preparing sermons during the week. So do log on to Premier's website, premier.plus, the app and the website, and listen to archived versions of the Leadership Show. And do join me again next week for another look at leadership and how you can be encouraged and supported in the place that God has called you to be. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.